You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Down a Fulham road, we're burning with ambition. The first division is where we wanna be. And if you've seen what a team we've got this season, you know the reason we'll get there easily. But first we're heading down the Wembley way to show the world that we can really play. Oh, this year we're gonna win the cup.
Welcome to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport London. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the Fulhamish podcast team of Don Betts, Jack Kelly and Joe Sansom. Just looking at the game on at the Etihad at the moment quickly. Man United beating Man City 1-0. Man United only actually need one more goal. They're 3-2 down on aggregate and the game will go straight to penalties if it's a draw. No extra time, no away goals rule. Absolute madness. Now, we've got a lot to talk about with the Fulham Fan Show because it wasn't on last week, because they had a week off for the 0-0 draw against Charlton. We'll start with that, Dom. Was it worth having a week off?
I thought it would be, and then it got 5 minutes into the game, and I thought, this is the biggest waste of time. Like, it was just one of those games where you knew, after 5 or 10 minutes, this is going to be a terrible game of football. And, you know, realistically, there were no real chances. I'm thinking Hector's header maybe, and then obviously the Lyle Taylor chance sort of fizzed across the face of goal. But apart from that, it was dire. We sort of had no focal point up top, really, is what I think the biggest problem was. You know, I think what, because Knockhart, well, was his first game out, wasn't it? And you had, was it Bobby Reid and Caviero sort of playing up front? The last two games have sort of been in the Fulhamish WhatsApp group. What is the formation? Because obviously Fulham don't release the team by formation at the player's request, and so it takes us about 5 minutes to work out what formation to put on our graphic. But yeah, I just feel like it was a game where you needed a talisman up top and we just didn't have that.
Well, like you said, nothing really happened, so I don't think we'd have missed much if we just did come here last week and do
and
the show.
And watch it on TV.
Yeah, we could have watched it on TV. No, it was a bit of a weird one because at the start of the match, I thought, even though nothing was happening in terms of chances, we had a few half chances, I thought we were at least controlling the ball quite well. In the second half, I don't really know what happened because we were sort of moving the ball around in our own half. It was like the worst parts of this season when we just sort of passed it for passing's sake and we just couldn't get through. And this is not like an incredible Charlton defence, so it was a little bit worrying.
Yeah, it's their first clean sheet in about 17 games or something.
I mean, I guess we can put part of it down to injuries, but it was just a bit worrying that we couldn't create anything.
And now we've got Leeds, who won last night. West Brom obviously fortunately lost, so a lot of the results went our way, but it would have been nice to get those extra 2 points and be closer to the top two. But it was probably the perfect game to be in that bar at Charlton where you could actually watch the game while having a drink.
Yeah, I saw the photo at the Valley. It looked great. It's not often you can do that in the Premier League Championship, in any professional football now, where you actually get to have a drink while you're watching the game if you're in the stadium. Dom, did you spend any time at your seat?
5-10 minutes here and there. Yeah, that's the only good thing about Charlton is you say you can't drink in view of the pitch. Well, don't open a clear open view looking across the entire ground. But yeah, it was just sort of one of those games where you kind of knew that it, nothing was going to happen. And, you know, again, it's not the worst result in the world, but this is only down to the other teams not being able to win all their games. You know, Forest obviously now above us in the league, but obviously we're only 4 points off the top two still. And, you know, you're looking at all our fixtures now, basically, until the end of February. But, I mean, we've got about 7 games next month anyway, so who knows what's going to happen. But then you look at our March and April fixtures and, wow, it'll be a very deciding month. But, like, you look at these fixtures and, realistically, look at our games between now and the Bristol City game at the beginning of March. There's not a game there you should be losing.
Yeah, if you think of them not in a row, I think that's a good way of looking at fixtures. You'd think that individually we should be winning every single one of these games. I don't think it should matter that they're in a row, because I think that if we saw Leeds having these fixtures or West Brom having these fixtures, even though they're both sort of falling apart a bit at the moment, you'd think, yeah, they'll win every single one of those games. And I think we should be looking to win every single one of those games, because I think Millwall's the hardest one.
Yeah, maybe possibly Blackburn.
But the two home games, I mean, we should be winning.
Yeah, and you're looking at it at the fact that we looked at a run of fixtures like this, I want to say, after the October international break. There was 5 games during that and the November international break. And you're like, oh yeah, should we get in what? Three or four wins out of five, possibly 5 wins here. And we got about 4 points. So whenever we look at these supposedly easy runs in the league, it never is. But if you are going to get top two, these are when you start going on a run. And these are the games, if we're going into, you know, March and April, our Bristol City game, on a great run of form, we're going to feel pretty much invincible. And you know, by then, we could even be in the top two. So it's these games are just games you have to win. And, you know, asking for 15 points from these games or win every game until the end of February, you know, how much of an ask really is that? Really? Because these are all against teams who aren't challenging for top two.
Should we talk about Sunday?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
4-0, yeah. FA Cup, up to the Etihad. Long trip to get absolutely pasted. An early red card. Let's start with the three-word reviews, Dom. Have we got some from the game?
Yeah, so let's start with Twitter. We had David Green with predictable, pathetic performance. We had Frank Miller with crucified by Jesus, or Jesus, as you might like to go. Pete Gowan with empty head at empty had. Instagram with George Rossiter's cut ream over. Luke Ball with Etihad, better days. Greg Margolis with should have slept in. Facebook with Andy Vellers, shattered hopes and reams. Tim Roberts could have conceded 12. Chris Bohr with fans, massive overreaction.
Okay, my favourite two are cup ream over and shattered hopes and reams. Let's talk about the Tim Ream red card. 6 minutes in, worst possible start. You can sort of understand the tackle he made. It wasn't a good challenge, but Jesus is getting through on goal. He looks like he's going to score. He's just trying to get something in the way, get the right side of him, and he just got it all wrong.
We're going to lose anyway. Just let him score.
Yeah. Well, Rodak was close enough. I think he could have come out and parried it, but just the worst way to start a game like Man City away.
I think I was laughing more than anything.
Yeah.
When I saw it happen, I was like, oh, come on. Like, you aren't being serious, Tim, here. It was just like, but I said it, actually. I genuinely think we would have conceded more with 11. I feel like City took pity that we had 10 men after about 5 minutes and sort of laid off. Because, obviously, they scored the second with Bernardo Silva. But between then and the 70th minute when Jesus scored again, you know, we were... Oh, not again, for his first, sorry. We were not in the game, but we didn't look like we were getting absolutely embarrassed. Yes, we were just passing out the ball at the back suicidal at some stages. But, you know, I actually think that we would have conceded more of 11 men. I think they've actually gone more relentless. And I think, you know, we showed resoluteness in between the second and third goals, but yeah, I mean what else really were people expecting?
Exactly. I don't know why there's been a huge overreaction. Everyone's saying, like, pathetic performance. We're playing Man City. It's not like we're playing like Reading or Cardiff or anything like that, but was disappointing in the way we started, but yeah, it could have been much worse.
Are there any positives you can take out of the game apart from the resoluteness? Were there in terms of individual performances? Obviously, we're not going to say Tim Ream was a 9 out of 10. He was probably a 3, 2, 1, maybe even lasting 6 minutes and getting sent off and giving away a penalty. But how did some of the other boys go? Like players like Caballero, who's made his move permanent and is one of the marquee signing, £50 million. Did he show enough of himself?
Well, we don't seem to want to play a striker. I mean, we don't have any. But, I mean, we don't seem to... going forward, I think it was hard to see anything. I thought Terence Kongolo, was it his debut?
Yeah, his debut.
His first game. Obviously, he made that excellent tackle in the second half. And, yeah, he looked strong at the back. Him, Michael Hector, you assume now of Ream's suspension will be the back two going forward. So, yeah, I think defensively, you know, we showed that we can actually defend at some point. We're not absolutely horrific and we're going to concede every time City are going to attack. But yeah, I think Terence Kongolo is the only sort of player I'm looking at for, okay, yeah, he did well here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know you say, and I agree, the Man City sort of took pity on us a little bit with the red card and stuff, and it probably would have been a lot more brutal if we had 11 men. But that period between Bernardo Silva's goal and the third goal where we made a mistake, we did defend reasonably well. We didn't have that much thrown of us at us in terms of really good Man City attacking play because they knew they just don't have to. Like, why risk going forward?
Well, they knew the game over as soon as they scored the penalty.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we had one shot on target in the game. I can't remember an attack off that.
100% shot accuracy.
That is true. I mean, at least get him on target, and he did. But another positive I thought was to... I mean, he didn't have a chance to make an impact, but it was nice to see another youngster come on in Jasper. I'm not going to pretend I know too much about him. I've seen that he scored a lot of goals and been involved for the under-23s, but I don't know much about him as a player. But it's nice that Stansfield's come in recently and had a chance, and now so is Jasper.
Mm. First Fulham game with VAR, what did you make of it?
What was it? Was it the third or fourth goal, I think, was used?
It was third, I think.
Yeah, and I was like, why? No one cares. Just give the goal.
Yeah. Like, doesn't make a difference if it's...
It doesn't make a difference to either team whether you give this goal. So just don't bother the VAR. I'm happy we don't have it in the Championship. I think it's a waste of time. And so it was just like, just give the goal. No one cares.
Is that because in the FA Cup, of course, goal difference doesn't make any difference. So you exactly. think you're going out, just give them the goal anyway.
Yeah, but even if it was like a league match, I was like, I don't need VAR. I don't need to wait to know whether it's a goal or not. If you make the wrong decision, you make the wrong decision.
Is it worth not getting promoted for not having to deal with VAR in the Premier League next year?
It's one of the biggest points as why you wouldn't want to get promoted, I think.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of Fulham fans have said that, you know, one of the main reasons they don't want to go up is because of VAR. They simply don't want it.
That for me is madness. Not wanting to go up just because of a little bit of technology, which, to be fair, has caused loads of controversy this season.
I think that this has been a good season not to be in the Premier League because it's the one that's gone wrong so much. So if they actually fix it over the summer, we could have a better season with VAR next season.
So it's just a case of the teething issues. What is it about VAR that you dislike so much?
It's not instant. I think that's the biggest issue with it. And in other sports, I think you can work with the delay. I feel like in rugby, in cricket, in tennis, when similar sort of technology is used, I feel like they're sports where the delay doesn't affect the game as much, if that makes sense. And also, in those sports, you kind of know what's going on.
I also feel like at the World Cup, when it was used, other than there being loads and loads of penalties from like corners and like fouls in the box that the referee didn't see, it was used mostly, other than that, for literally clear and obvious errors.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of the stuff that's being disallowed or overruled...
offsides.
Yeah, it's mostly the offsides. Even a couple of the penalties that are like not clear-cut, I just don't see the point in using it if you don't 100% have to use it.
It was like the one for the Arsenal goal the other night with, was it when they were looking at Martinelli?
Oh, it was ridiculous with his knee. Yeah. If it's not, for me, if it's not the naked eye, they shouldn't zoom in. They should use it like they do in rugby with a forward pass. When if the ball goes forward, they look at it, they don't get lines out and measurements and all that. They just go, can't really tell, we'll go with the on-field decision. That's exactly how I think it should be.
And also, if someone's arm's offside in a build-up to a goal, that's not cost the team a goal. If they're clearly offside and their leg's offside and they've scored with that foot, for example, obviously you'd be annoyed. But I remember the Sheffield United one at Spurs, where somewhere in the build-up, it was offside by the smallest of margins. It didn't actually affect the goal at all because he would have got to that ball anyway. And it's just stuff like that that really gets on my nerves.
Yeah, it's not great. Just quickly, Javier Pereira rejoining the club as assistant director of football. Good move?
Well, it means we actually have a director of football in England most of the time now. So that probably helps. And someone who actually knows football, that's another positive. Mm. Having Tony Khan there, who's too busy sorting out wrestling stuff in America, which I couldn't care less about. it's nice to have someone, and obviously someone who knows the club, obviously was very successful, honestly, Slavisa Jokanović, both at Watford and obviously at Fulham when we got promoted. So, yeah, I think it's a good move all round, but I still find it weird that he's been made assistant director of football when he's most likely going to be doing all the... I guess Tony Khan isn't going to step down as director of football, but he basically is the director of football in that sense.
Yeah, I think it's the best we're going to get, really. I don't think Tony Khan's going to step down. And it's good that we've got someone in that's going to give their full attention to the job. And I also liked in the Fulham piece they put up on the website, it says that his main job is going to be to put the philosophy of this passing style of football in through all the age groups, which I think is quite a good idea. I think it would make it easy for players to step up as well.
Up next, I'm really excited. We're getting a bit of a legend on. Former Fulham captain, midfielder Lee Clark's going to be joining the show. If you have a question for him, 0208 70 20 558 is the number. Give us a call. Get us on WhatsApp. Drop those questions in. You can also ask any of us a question as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. It's 9:15. This is Love Sport London.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
This is actually the Fulham fan show. If you want the Bristol City fan show, head over to Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport London. Miles Blumsom here for the Fulham fan show, joined by the guys from the Fulhamish podcast, Don Betts, Jack Kelly and Joe Sansom. In the League Cup semi-final, Man United still leading Manchester City at the Etihad 1-0. Won't be enough yet, though. If they score one more, if they win 2-0, it'll go straight to penalties. Man City currently leading 3-2 on aggregate. In the Premier League, West Ham getting beaten at home 2-0 by Liverpool. Mo Salah and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain with the goals for Liverpool, who just are unstoppable. They just keep winning matches of football. 0208 70 20 558 is our number here. Give us a call. Get us on WhatsApp or tweet us at Love Sport Radio, because here on the Fulham Fan Show, I'm excited because we're joined by former Fulham midfielder and captain Lee Clark. Lee, what have you made of Scott Parker's transition from player to coach to manager?
Good evening, guys, first of all. I've been very impressed. I think he got to know the group just as they were going down from the Premier League, and he's built his own squad, and they've quietly got on with their job. They've had a few little bumps in the road, but they're looking a strong team, especially at Craven Cottage.
Obviously, we're looking for top two automatic promotion this season. Do you think where Fulham are on the table right now is sort of where you'd expect them to be at sort of this stage in the season?
I think they'd be happy with that. I mean, everyone would prefer to be top and clear by 10, 12 points, but that's not always the easy thing to do. But I think where they are at the moment, they're ready to strike, and they're still within touch and distance, obviously, of getting an automatic promotion position, but also consolidate if that doesn't happen to get the playoff position as well.
Obviously, Tom Kearney's sort of been out of sorts over the last couple of weeks, and some fans have been pointing to him. What do you think of him as captain? Obviously, being a former Fulham captain yourself, do you just think he's a different type of captain to the likes of yourself and Danny Murphy?
I think many captains nowadays are completely different to what they were in possibly my day and era, I think. But you always have different type of captains. And anyway, some who are leaders and vocal leaders, some who just lead by example. But, obviously in this day and age, I think there's not a lot of vocal leadership. It's more just getting on with the job and trying to be a good example to the rest of the players then. So I don't think there's... I think that's... If you ask coaches and managers now, they find it difficult, and they do say that there's lack of leadership in a lot of teams going, and I think that's just in general or across the board.
We've obviously recently signed Kongolo from Huddersfield. I wondered what you thought of that in terms of if it's a good signing or not. He played against Man City on Sunday, and despite the scoreline, he played quite well, most Fulham fans think. He can't play Saturday.
He's an athletic defender. He can play at central defence or in full-back, or he can play in a back three as well. So I think he gives Scott the versatility in those roles and covers many positions. And as I said, he's an athletic defender, which is you know, very important in the day's game at the speed it gets played at. And I think he could be a good acquisition. But it seems to me that Scott's trying to build a team with high energy, lots of pace in it, especially in the wide area. So, you know, he ticks the boxes of being an energetic player, you know, and a good athlete.
We've got the game on Saturday coming up against Huddersfield, of course, won last night against Hull. Do you think they've turned a corner, actually? They're under some severe relegation issues earlier this season, but it seems like they have turned a corner.
Well, I think the appointment of Danny Cowley was massive for them in terms of him and his brother coming in, and a strong reputation he built at Lincoln. And he come in and he looks like he slowly but surely got them turned around, getting them, easing them away from the relegation worries. And it probably is, you know, won't be as easy as game as it had been a couple of months ago. So, you know, they're going to be, you know, giving Fulham a really tough test at the weekend. But I believe Fulham will have too much quality for them.
Obviously, we've signed Ivan Caviera and Bobby Reid on permanent deals this summer, this January transfer window, which sort of would lead you to believe that Fulham are definitely looking back into the loan market to bring sort of players in. If you know, looking at the Fulham squad right now, do you think there is a particular area that we need to strengthen particularly?
I think the manager, and obviously Scott being the manager, he'll be the one who will be looking and thinking, well, goals, you know, it's massive to get someone to score something out of nothing, someone being creative in the final third. So I think he might be looking in that area to get that type of player, you know, of the team being a little bit over-relying on Mitrovic for his goals, and can they get them from somewhere else? And those tight games when they're a 0-0 or you're a 1-1 and you need someone to produce a little bit of magic in the final third, can you get that type of player in? And obviously, Caviero and Reid, are they those type of players, or is there someone else out there in the market? I mean, I've worked in this market myself as a manager, and it's a very, very tough one, especially when you're going for attacking players and goal scorers. The prices go up crazily, and nobody really wants to release those type of players in any way. But so, you know, I would say if he wanted that special player in terms of the top end of the pitch, I think that's where he'd be trying to look to, you know, to try and win those games to bridge the gap from the points that they need to get to the top two.
Lee, you played for Fulham for some very successful years coming up into the Premier League. Is the Premier League where Fulham Football Club belongs?
Absolutely, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, great club, great times. We went in there as well and we competed very well. I mean, you know, the season where we finished ninth, which was the club's highest position at the time, obviously since being beaten by Roy Hodgson's team. But if you remember, going into this January window of that season, we were in the top four. But unfortunately, on the last day of the window, Luis Sahar got sold to Manchester United, which was a huge loss for us in the system we played. Luis was massive in that 4-2-3-1 system we were playing at that stage. And was really pivotal to us. So who knows where we could have finished even higher than the ninth we did, which was a great finish at the time. Obviously, later down the line, you know, getting the club into Europe as well and competing in Europe. So it's without a doubt, it's Premier League club. It deserves to be there. The support deserves to be there. And especially with the renovations of the if Craven Cottage going on now with the Riverside Stand, it's going to have a fantastic new look to it as well. So we want to hopefully get them back up this year.
And if that doesn't happen, what happens to Scott Parker? Does he keep his job or do we look elsewhere?
Well, that's the big question. When, you know, it's a fantastic job to have. It's a great job for Scott to have as his first job, but it comes with intense scrutiny and pressure. But that's what happens when you're working for a club that's going to back you with funds to strengthen the squad, with the infrastructure and the facility. So who knows? It depends what the remit was, what he got off the owner and the directors. Was it to build the club up after a disappointing season in the Premier League and start getting some value on the pitch with the type of players they have, younger type of players who they can sell on further down the line to reinvest in the squad? Or was the remit want to get up straight away? So, you know, that's this million-dollar question. So it depends how the rest of the season pans out. If he can get them and keep them at least in the playoffs, or certainly if he gets them in the top two, he keeps his job. But if he keeps them in the playoffs and they can, you know, challenge really strongly in that, if the worst was to come to the worst, and, you know, give them an opportunity again for next season to continue the rebuild.
Looking at, you know, our midfield three, that, you know, it seems to be sort of ever-changing due to, you know, injuries, suspensions, and so, you know, we've got the likes of, you know, you've got Kearney, you've got Harry Arter, you've got Josh Onuma, you've got, obviously, Ken McDonald, Harrison Reed. When you're looking at our midfield, what would you say is the most balanced option we have?
Well, I think a fit and firing Kearney, certainly in the Championship, is top quality, as you said before. Sounds like he's just having a little bit of an indifferent time at the moment. But, you know, he is a class act. I think Kevin McDonald, a couple of years ago, was playing some of the best football of his career in that little bit of a deeper role. So, Harry Ott as a proven player. Is that the three that you go with McDonald, and then those other two playing is playing with two number 10s in front of McDonald's, so you've got the players who can break the lines from those positions, and Kearney and Harry Arter. And Harry Arter probably being a little bit more box-to-box than Kearney, so you've got all three of them complement each other. I think that's what you've got to try and do, have players who complement each other in the middle of the pitch, you know. So And remember, some of the midfield players and the midfield combinations I played in, you had like Sean Davis, who was suited to the defensive midfield role, myself and John Collins either side of that, and we had the experience that Sean Nevis didn't have because he was a young player. But we all had different strengths that we complemented each other very well, and later down the line, Sylvain Lewinsky come into that as well, you know. So it was... you know, that's what you're looking for as a manager. You want those three in the middle not to be all similar. You want them to have different combinations so they can affect the game.
Lee, the guys were saying before that they dislike VAR so much they almost don't want to get promoted to the Premier League just to not have to be involved with it. What's been your opinion of VAR so far this season?
Well, I think it could be brilliant. The big word is could be. And I totally agree with the ex-manager when he was doing his punditry a few weeks ago, Graeme Souness, when he said about these offside incidents. If there's any part of the body of the attacker that's onside, it should stand as a goal. Because the initial laws of the game and offside when you started playing was the benefit of the doubt should always be given to the attacking player. And I think the biggest emotion in a football match certainly is when you play it. And you're playing in front of thousands of people, and you score a goal. It's the best feeling you can have as a professional footballer, as a professional sportsman. But as a footballer, scoring that goal, now you stand there waiting. Sometimes I've seen it this season, waiting 5, 6, 7 minutes to decide if you're ready to celebrate the goal. It's just taking the raw emotion out of the game, and it's being used for too many incidents. So, yeah, the wording is could be. Could be a great thing for football, but I just don't think it's being used in the right manner at this moment in time.
I couldn't agree more. Now, Lee, before we let you go, just finally, a score prediction for Fulham Huddersfield Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I'd go for 2-0 Fulham.
That's what we like to hear. Lee Clark, thank you very much for joining the show. Former Fulham midfielder and, of course, club captain Lee Clark there. Former Huddersfield manager as well, backing Fulham this weekend. In the League Cup semi-final, Man United have had Nemanja Matic sent off for a second yellow card, stopping a counter-attack. Aguero had the ball in the net earlier as well, but it was ruled out for offside. Now Man United are pushing. They've got just over 5 minutes, if you include added time left, to get one more goal to take this game to penalties. Up next, we'll continue to preview the Fulham Huddersfield game, 3 o'clock at Craven Cottage on Saturday, with the opposition view. This is Love Sport London.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio. The opposition view on Love Sport.
This is the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsome here, joined by the guys from Fulhamish, Dom Betts, Jack Kelly and Joe Sansom. If you're after the Stoke City Fan Show, head over to Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport London. Change over on your DAB if you are anywhere in the country, or of course you can change the station online as well. But we don't want you to. We want you to listen to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport London. If you've got a question, 0208 70 20 558, get yourself heard on the radio. You can call us or you can send us a message on WhatsApp. Alternatively, tweet us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or on any other social media channel, actually. In the game at the Etihad, Man United, 10-man Man United pushing for an equaliser to take the League Cup semi-final to penalties. But Manchester City are looking for a counter-attack as Bernardo Silva hits it straight at David De Gea. It's time for the opposition view because on Saturday, Fulham are hosting Huddersfield at Craven Cottage. We're joined on the phone by Brady Frost of the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Brady, welcome to the Fulham Fan Show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's been a weird season for Huddersfield, dropping out of the Premier League. Did the fans think that the return to the Championship would be quite as difficult as it has been?
I think as a fan base, we can be quite pessimistic sometimes. But I don't think 7 games in, 1 point is how anyone saw the season going, even the most negative of us. But since the Cowleys have come in, it's changed quite positively, I'd say. So, been a bit of a bumpy road, but I think if we can just, I think we'll be safe now, and we'll just build on this for next season.
What is sort of the long term sort of aim for Huddersfield? Is it obviously it would be, everyone's looking for promotion, but is it just solidifying over for what maybe the next year or two, then building with the Cowleys and hopefully aiming for another promotion push in the future?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I think it's been quite a difficult 2 years, I'd say. Our chairman, Dean Hoyle, who was the club for years, he had to step down due to ill health. The recruitment in summer last season when we were in the Premier League was poor. So we've had a new chairman, we've had poor recruitment. So it has it's taken quite a big effect on the club. Danny Cowley's had to work with a squad that on paper we've got quite a lot of players, but as it turns out, not a lot of players want to play for us in the Championship. So I think, a couple of transfer windows where Danny can and Nicky can get their own players and, in their own style, I think a promotion push in the next 2-3 years, I think that's what we're aiming for. But we just want to be a club that competes. And when we go for the turnstile on a Saturday, we want to know we have a good chance of winning.
I've seen quite a few Huddersfield fans seem quite relieved that Kongolo's come to us, and I saw that I think it's Diakabi's gone to Nottingham Forest. Has this window been about letting go of some of the players that maybe didn't want to be there?
Yeah, I think so. Kongolo's a really disappointing one, to be honest, because when he came in on loan from Monaco, he was unreal, and he was just so solid for us at the back. And it's been really disappointing how it's turned out. I think he's a fantastic defender when he wants to play. And I think Fulham have got a real player on their hands. He's great at the last ditch tackles. It's just solid. But yeah, Diakabi as well. Absolutely rapid. Can impress, but it's just not really quite done it for Huddersfield. But that doesn't mean to say you can't do it at Forest.
Of course, last season one of the lowest points for us was actually losing 2-1-0. But since then we won the last two. So how do you see this one going on Saturday, given that you won last night, of course?
Well, yeah, I mean, what a win as well, a 96-minute winner. Mm. I think, obviously since we played you last, we've got a new manager in charge. Mm-hmm. And actually, we seem to perform quite well against teams we're not expected to do well against. Such as our 0-0 draw with Brentford, and we obviously beat them 1-0 away. So I think we set up to kind of frustrate teams who are playing better than us and higher than us in the league. So I can see it being a score draw 1-1.
How have you found the Cowley brothers since they've come in? They came with a good reputation from doing very well at Lincoln City, taking them from the National League all the way into League One. How have they settled in? Are the fans happy with them?
Yes, yeah, I'd say almost definitely. They seem to. What's really important to Huddersfield is obviously the fan base. You know, we have. I know it's kind of a cliche, but we have a very loyal fan base and we're very passionate. And they seem to have come in and kind of, you know, expressed that and shown they're really grateful for that. And I think that's, you know, gone down really well with the fans. And I think we're realistic, you know, the position we're in, we're realistic and we just needed someone to keep us up. And I think we've not played the most attractive football at times, but again, we just don't want to do a Sunderland and go have two relegations in a row. So, I think I have no complaints about the Cowleys. Other town fans I speak to, they're all happy. And yeah, I think, you know, we're just hoping for next season to push on and, you know, not be in a relegation scrap.
Obviously, in the home game last season, we only just about beat you with the 1-0 victory and the whole penalty debacle when it came to us. What players in Huddersfield's team this season do you think are going to be the ones to cause Fulham the most issues on Saturday? Or is it simply being a case of Huddersfield will sit back and just try hits on a counter-attack? Do you think it will be your forward players that are most likely going to be the key players for you in this game?
Yeah, well, obviously, I know a lot's been made of Carlin Grant and, you know, he has been fantastic for us this season and a season full of not a lot of positives. You know, I think it's very important for him to score last night at Hull because he's gone for a couple of games without doing so. So I think he'll be one to watch. I think some of the January signings, particularly Smith Rowe, he's brought that flair that we've desperately needed. So I think he'll be one to watch, certainly. And again, it'd just be interesting to see if we start with Steve Mounier or not, because we've kind of been rotating between Fraser Campbell when fit and Mounier. So, you know, Mounier has been quite an impact off the bench for us this season. And obviously, he's a big physical striker, you know, so I think he could cause Fulham a few problems as well.
I saw that you also signed Richard Stearman. He played for us a few years ago. I was wondering how he's got on so far.
Oh, he's been fantastic. It's been a breath of fresh air, really. So, obviously, our captain, Christopher Schindler, you know, he's loved by pretty much the entire fan base. He's fantastic. He's a ball-playing centre-back, and we played John Stankovic, who was also quite a similar player. So, Stim's come in, did a few cross turns against Brentford, but he's been incredibly solid and... you know, I just think, you know, what a signing, you know, we needed that experience at the back. And it just, you know, I think we're so chuffed to have him and I can see him being a real asset for us.
Because obviously, what do you think is the key area that Fulham should be looking to target Huddersfield on the weekend? What would you say your biggest weaknesses are?
Our lone keeper from Liverpool, Gravara, he went off injured yesterday. So, it doesn't look like he's going to, with a concussion, so it doesn't look like he's going to play on Saturday. So probably likely we're going to have Joe Coleman in goal, who I don't think is quite cut out for Championship. He's more of a, I'd say, high League One player. Sorry, Joel, if it does ever get to you. But so I think obviously our keeper, that would be an area to target. I think we have been a bit more solid defensively, but... although we've really improved on scoring from set pieces, we're still a bit shaky. And our right back area, Danny Simpson's come in and done a pretty good job. But Bakuna, who's a midfielder, played at right back last night. So again, he's not it's not his preferred position. So if I was Fulham, that's kind of the area I'd target.
Brady, I know Scott Parker listens to this show every week, so thanks for giving away the secrets there. But
all right.
You said 1-1. Is that the score prediction you're going with?
Yeah, I think so. I think we, like I say, we're performing really well against teams that we're not expected to get much from. And a lot of fans, particularly Brentford, were not happy with how we played at Griffin Park. So I think we're set up a way to frustrate teams. And I think, if you're in the home end at Craven Cottage, it might be a frustrating afternoon. I think 1-1 is probably how I see this game going.
Well, these guys will be in the home end at Craven Cottage, and I'm there hoping for a not-so-frustrating afternoon. Brady Frost, thank you very much for joining the show of the And He Takes That Chance podcast, something that Huddersfield didn't do a hell of a lot of last season. In terms of taking their chances, Manchester United are now out of the League Cup semi-final. They won 1-0 on the night at the Etihad. Good win away at Manchester City, but they have been knocked out 3-2 on aggregate. Manchester City progressing to the League Cup final, the Carabao Cup final against Aston Villa. I can only see one winner in that. Guys, coming back to the Huddersfield game at the weekend, you'll be going. What are you expecting when you're there, Dom?
I mean, hopefully 3 points. But I mean, no, but like, again, it's just you look at this game and you shouldn't really be worried. You know, looking at Huddersfield at home, it should be your bread and butter. But there's still like a tense of nervous. I know most of the time we play them home, we tend to have beaten them. And, you know, that season where they got banned and we didn't, we battered them home and away. But, you know, this Fulham team this season and 3 o'clock Saturday home fixtures against teams who like to sit back just never seem to go too well.
We've lost, I think, it must be about 3 games, 2-1 in literally the same way.
Yeah.
In that we've dominated the whole game and they've had 2 chances. And we pull one back, and then that's just frustration from there, knocking on the door, we just can't get it in. And I really hope that it's not going to be another one of those.
Possession stats mean nothing. There's only one stat that counts, and that's the score.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating. And it seems that a lot of the time there hasn't been that much urgency. I felt that was what was creeping in a bit in the Charlton game, and that there didn't seem to be an urgency at the end of the game, like, right, we're drawing this, we need to win and put pressure on Leeds and West Brom. And yeah. I'm hoping that this is where... that's what we learned from that game, is that we need to have a lot more intensity.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we started fast against Leeds. We've started fast against Middlesbrough. But there's been games where we've just been below par. The Reading game was really poor. It's a potential banana skin, but it's one that I'm expecting us to win. But here's hoping.
Score predictions, Dom?
2-0 Fulham.
Joe?
2-1.
Jack?
3-2 Fulham.
There we go. 3 Fulham wins. I'm going to say 2-0 Fulham, just to jump in on the action. Why not? Up next, let's go through some of your listener questions. If you want to get a question in for the guys, 0208 70 2558 is our number here at Love Sport. You can call us, or of course you can get us on WhatsApp at Love Sport Radio on Twitter as well. We've seen Manchester City knock Man United out of the League Cup. A 1-0 loss to Manchester United at the Etihad today. However, that 3-2 aggregate takes them through to the final against Aston Villa. Nemanja Matic getting sent off for Manchester United really didn't help. And in the Premier League, Liverpool extend their lead at the top of the table by beating West Ham 2-0 at the London Stadium. Would you like to know how many points clear they are at the top now that there's no games in hand? 19! Liverpool are 19 points clear at the top of the Premier League. I think they might have this wrapped up by April. This is Love Sport London.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Yeah, it's the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsom here with the guys from Fulhamish. We've got Dom Betts, Jack Kelly and Joe Sansom in the studio with me. Listener question time. If you do have some questions, you can still get them in. 0208 70 20 558 is our number. You can either call us, or the technological advancement of this radio station, I'm telling you what, you can send us a message on WhatsApp, 0208 70 20 558. I've never thought whether we can be added to WhatsApp groups, because that would be quite funny, wouldn't it? 0208 70 20 558, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. All right, guys, we've had some messages in from Dan Collier. Thoughts on being linked with Villa's Jota?
I mean, if he scored in the last minute against Brentford, it would be quite funny.
Or we sign him in the last minute of deadline day and say Jota in the last minute. That'd be
yeah. I mean, I don't see the need for him personally. Mm. I don't think he's that good. Like, I think. Well, no, he was for Brentford, but for Birmingham Villa, I think he's been very poor.
If we were signing him a couple of years ago, when I thought we were signing him,
oh, yeah.
Then it'd be brilliant. When we did sign him, sorry. But sadly, he went to Birmingham, and I think he was okay. I think he did fine there, but he just looked like a very average championship player.
I don't think he improves the team.
I think I think it depends for me if he play if he can play as an attacking midfielder. I don't know if he can. I always thought of him as a winger.
Yeah.
I feel that with Tom Kenny not playing as well lately and the few injuries we've got, I do feel that if we're going to get someone else in, I'm hoping that it will be someone that could play in that role, if not a striker. So if he can fill that void, then I obviously understand us bringing him in. But if he's just another winger, then I don't really understand the point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, Sledgy9, what do you think the centre-back pairing will be?
Well, if we're looking beyond this weekend, I think, obviously, with Ream and Kongolo, one being ineligible and one being suspended, I would imagine Hector and Kongolo is what I'm thinking. It won't be Alfie Mawson. It won't be in the conversation. But then, yeah, I reckon Kongolo and Hector with, you know, I'd have Cyrus Christie on the right and Dennis Adoy on the left.
Unless Cyrus Christie goes to Roma.
That rumour that came out from DiMarzio last week. Maybe it was on Sunday evening, I think, possibly. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on?
Someone else picked up on it yesterday, though, and it was something to do with if Roma let someone go, and I'm pretty sure that they were getting rid of someone. So you never know. I mean, there could be something to it.
Where does the scouting network just go? Yep, Cyrus Christie, yeah, he's the man we need to bring in to sort out our right-back issues. Because he can't even sort out our right-back issues. So I don't know how he's going to help Roma.
Do you think it's going to be a pairing or a three at the back? Because Parker's dabbled in a three, hasn't he?
I just think every time Fulham play three at the back, we're rubbish.
Yeah.
I think it will be a pairing. I think the three at the back thing was... I mean, it didn't happen for long against City.
I think it works maybe a tactical shift in game when you're chasing the game or you're trying to protect the game with five defenders. But I don't think it's a formation or a system that works for us tactically where we use this sort of going forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the five at the back was against City because we were just trying to defend against them.
Well, and obviously, no one really knew what formation that was. There's about four fullbacks playing, two centre mids, two wingers, three centre backs. No one really had a clue what formation we were playing there. And I think it was basically just defend for your lives is basically what it was. But yeah, I don't know. I think three at the back is something we'll switch to in the later stages of games as opposed to starting from the front of the game from the first whistle.
Max T, 1998. Is our away form a worry?
I mean, it's mixed. I'm trying to think of the last time
Hull,
we went away.
Hull was our last league one.
Oh, yeah. So Hull, and then we had Charlton, which was a draw, and then obviously lost to City. I don't think it's a concern for now. I think Blackburn and Millwall are big tests coming up. Blackburn are quite strong at home, but they don't have Bradley Dack. Danny Graham will probably come up with a couple. Millwall was always a threat, and if you can keep them quiet for the opening 20, then we can try and take the initiative. But it's not a worry, it's just a slight concern.
Yeah, of course.
I like that. It's not worrying yet. We're just at slight concern. We'll go through to worry if there's another few games without a win. David Gadd has asked, what do you make of Slav's old assistant coming back as Tony Khan's new assistant? And do you think Tony's going to step back?
Well, he hasn't been doing anything anyway, so he wouldn't exactly be stepping back. I think that Javier Pereira is great to get him in, not just because we'll have an actual director of football kind of person who's actually on the training ground every single day, but because he knows the club. He was here in a successful period when we got promoted. He'll know all the players, and it's his one of the things in his statement which we pointed out early on in the show where we were talking about him bringing a philosophy into all the different teams. I think it's a good thing. I think it's as best as we can get of getting a new director of football in without getting a new director of football in.
Yeah, I agree. And I also really like him because I remember in the playoff final, it was 1 minute to go and he pulled someone over. I can't remember who it was. And he literally just shouted in their face, 1 minute to go, and then threw a water bottle at them to just sort of liven them up. And since then, I've wanted him back. So
do you think he'll be able to do that from the director's box, though?
Probably not. But when we're winning 1-0 with 1 minute to go against Huddersfield, he might come down.
He'll chuck one down from the
box. Throw his clapper on the pitch.
LPS_1 has asked, any last-minute transfers you want to happen?
I think the injury to Mitrovic and obviously Bukayo Kamara being out at the same time hasn't helped, but I think a backup striker, and I don't know, I know, you know, if Mitrovic does come off in games later on in the season, you can, you know, move Boyreen to the middle and have Knockaert and Caviero on each side of him, but for me, I'm looking at a backup striker and I think a backup fullback, specifically on the left-hand side.
Yeah, Joe and I were talking on our way here, we're talking about Matias Vidra and how Burnley have put Naki Wells back in the team, and apparently Vidra is available, so maybe we can go in for him.
And Pereira had Vidra when he was in the Watford setup with Djukanovic, So, I mean, we don't know if there's anything to that
at all.
We've literally made this up.
Yeah, he's put two and two together and got six.
Yeah.
Well, like, the thing is, Vidra is a good championship striker. If you go up, will he be able to lead the line in the Premier League?
No.
Potentially not, but for the rest of this season, he'll get a few goals.
I just think that's the sort of player we should be looking at, someone like that, personally, rather than someone like Jota. I think someone that is a bit more deadly in front of goal, that could maybe not even, don't even just have to play striker, but could play striker, could play just behind the striker even, and just gives us something a bit different, because with Mitrovic out, we've just been a bit toothless. So, yeah.
And our final listener question is from Alistair Nemo. Parker and K-Mac, managerial dynasty, thoughts?
We don't need Parker if you've got K-Mac. You know, he leads the club. He's the leader out. He's the leader in the pack. He's not the, let's face it, he's the real captain. TC's not the real captain here.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone seems to love Kevin McDonald. And I think it's been great to see his sort of resurgence in the last month or 6 weeks or so. But he's come back into the side. I feel like he's finally recovered from post-promotion party and he's finally started playing football again. His hangover might have finally disappeared. But, yeah, no, it's good to see him back in the side, because everyone's sort of writing him off. And his legs have gone. He's got up to the pace of the game. But, you know, he's shown that he is still a very, very good championship holding midfielder.
Well, yeah, I mean, earlier in the season when we were all talking about, oh, what's the best three to play in midfield? I know we're still talking about it, but I didn't even think of McDonald as an option, really. I thought his legs had gone. I just didn't think that he was up to it anymore. I think a lot of other people had the same opinion. And he's come back in the Villa game in the Cup, yeah, but then against Hull in the league. And he just completely proved me wrong. I think he still epitomises everything that was good about that promotion team, and that just it was, as good as we were going forward in that season, he was always there to sweep up all the attacks coming back at us. And I just think that he's perfect for that role.
Yeah, he is a fan's favourite for a reason. Like, he came into the team, I think, in the season before we got promoted, and just stood out and was very, very good. And it led us to promotion, and hopefully he can keep on playing.
Thank you very much for all of your listener questions. You can always get them in every week, 0208 70 20 558. Right, that's it. That is the Fulham Fan Show. Thank you very much to Dom, Jack and Joe from Fulhamish for joining us. We'll be back again next week, same time, from 9 o'clock for the Fulham Fan Show. Tell you what, the last 3 hours of radio here on Love Sport London have been fantastic. Charlton Fan Show from 7, Crystal Palace Fan Show from 8, and of course the Fulham Fan Show from 9. It's like that every Wednesday with me, Miles Blumsome. We're going to be joining up with Love Sport Radio, with the national station, up next with Charlie Hawkins, where we're going to do the late night fan show. Charlie and myself will be going through all the big news from today. Of course, we'll be talking about Manchester United beating Man City at the Etihad, but it not being enough to go through to the League Cup final. 3-2 they've lost on aggregate. Nemanja Matic, a goal and a red card. Hero to villain. Could Man United have just done the job, just got one more goal to take it to straight to a penalty shootout? We'll be talking about that. We might talk a little bit about West Ham losing at home to Liverpool. I know West Ham fans have been disgruntled recently. I know it. I feel your pain. The loss at West Brom was shocking, but this is Liverpool. This is a team that are now 19 points clear at the top of the Premier League table. They're already on 70 points. We're not even in February. Madness. Liverpool, they are that good. That's all coming up next. This is Love Sport London.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.